Hey guys, it's Mina. I wanted to remind you to check out one of my favorite podcasts, That's What She Said with Sarah Spain. This week, Sarah chats with John and Bert Jacobs, the founders of Life is Good, I'm shook, who tell great stories about how they got their start hawking t-shirts on college campuses and how they really embrace the science on positive psychology, which aligns with the ethos of their brands. Leave it in. You can find That's What She Said wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to the Minicom Show featuring Lenny, the only NFL podcast where one of the hosts thinks minicamp is where small dogs stay when their owners are on vacation. I'm Mina Kimes. I was talking, of course, about Lenny. Folks, there's no minicamp. We're still here to talk football and ethos or ethos. Nate, how do you say it?
I think it's ethos.
Wait, did I get it right? Okay.
I have no idea.
That's Nate Tice. He's my guest this week. I asked him to send me like his resume of sorts. And he started in high school, which is not something you get a lot of these days. But he is a friend of mine who has a long history in football, working with the Falcons, the Raiders. He was the personnel director for the Atlanta Legends, RIP, which gave birth to the god Younghoe Koo. And more importantly, he's someone I bounce football talk off all the time, especially quarterback talk, which is what we are here to talk about today.
You are. Thanks for having me. And yeah, I started with the high school and I was just like, you're just like, tell me like, what's about yourself? And I was like, okay, I did this. Tell me when to stop.
Edina? Right.
Yeah. Edina, Minnesota. Yep. I'm a Kiki.
Edina, Minnesota.
So if you ever saw the Mighty Ducks movies, Adam Banks, he's from Edina. He's the cake eater. He's the rich kid. So
one of my first crushes.
So that's Edina, Minnesota. So
fond memories of Adam Banks. I just relearned, you know, the scene in Mighty Ducks 2 where they go roll, where they're like the ducks get back together and they go rollerblading all around town.
Is that when Keenan calls him out?
Yes, exactly. Yes. And apparently somebody went and tracked like how many miles based on the landmarks they showed in the movie, how many miles would have they, and I think it was something like 50 miles of rollerblading is what it would have entailed. I should also mention, I skipped over a very important point on your resume, which is, you were a college quarterback. You went to Wisconsin and you played behind, I don't want to call him a friend of the pod, but he is in my heart, Russell Carrington Wilson.
Yes. Yeah. Russ transferred in. We were both seniors together. We actually were roommates, not like day to day because he was engaged to Ashton at the time. But we were roommates on the road for like when we were staying at the hotels. And of course, like just we kind of hung out because like he was like, oh, this guy seems normal. All right. I'll hang out with him a little bit. So yeah. So Russ and I we were on the road a lot and watch a lot of football together. I would take pictures of him eating ice cream and to rat him out to his, to the fiance at the time, because he was always supposed to be on a diet and eating healthy. So
is
yeah,
he like I promise I'm not going to ask you 100 questions about Russell Wilson, but I'm going to ask you one. Do you feel like he has that in him, like the chunk? Because he gets a little thick sometimes. He's got thick bod.
He does have the chunk. I think he works to keep the chunk down, but he's got a little tuna can going on. You know, like yeah, but no, yeah, he's just thick. I think that's a good way to put it. He's definitely well built, as they would put it.
And durable. I actually think his body size has really served him well. His density, as I call it.
Absolutely. That's like, you know, we're spoilers. But, when we talk about like a guy like Kyler, like, you know, like everyone compared him, like, yeah, they have some similar skill sets and stuff, but like Russell's thick. Like he is like a old school 25 carry, 30 carry running back. While Kyler is like the scat back there, you know, it's totally. Like, yeah, just totally different sizes because Russell can take those hits. He's, you know, 210, 215, but he's, you know, at his height, that's a well-built dude back there.
Yeah, it is interesting. There's this like larger discussion about dual threat quarterbacks and longevity that longtime listeners of this podcast I've gotten into many times. But Russell Wilson's always been a bit of an aberration, not only because he's probably the best sliding quarterback, cough baseball background I've ever seen, but also because he is not built like most dual threat quarterbacks that I've watched in the NFL.
Yeah, that's a lot of those guys look, you know, when you close your eyes and picture, okay, running quarterback, they're that almost receiver build, kind of like the long spinally build, like the 6'2", 6'3" guys are like 210 and skinny. But like, that's the thing with Russ too, is like, you know, like you'll see a lot of quarterbacks that were former baseball players in high school or college. And And some of them, a lot of them will be pitchers or third basemen and maybe a right fielder or a catcher. And then Russ and Kyler were second basemen, you know, and like the only other guy I can think of, like, I think Todd Helton was the second baseman. Like that's the other guy I can think of who,
oh God,
who, yeah,
what a pull.
Yeah. Who started, yeah, I know. Right. And, just gonna brush that dirt off my shoulder. Like he started, yeah, cause he was the guy before Peyton and at Tennessee. And then, yeah, I think those are guys that are like second baseman. So it kind of, it's like just a skill set. And then you get like a guy like Baker, who was a first baseman. Which, you know,
yes,
that we can get into that later.
He's thick too.
He's thick too.
Really, Baker's actually, his build's a little bit closer to Russell. All right. We're going to talk about all these quarterbacks. Yes. We're going to get into all these quarterbacks are going to come up because, the reason I brought you on today. So my friend, Dan Orlovsky, kicked up a bit of a hornet's nest on football Twitter, as he's wont to do, when I think it was GetUp tweeted like a ranking of QBs and he had Sam Darnold over Lamar. And there was a bit of a misunderstanding because he wasn't actually ranking them by how good they are. He was trying to rank them for the next 10 years. And I still would not rank them that way. But there was some, you know, it was basically like a draft. And it got me thinking, well, okay, last year I did quarterback tiers with my friend Adam Lefko. What if I was to do more of a draft, but not for 10 years, for the next 5 years? So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to take turns picking a quarterback. So here are the rules. We are the GM, coach, owner, everything, equipment managers of our teams. We have the exact same team. So we're ranking these quarterbacks. We are not considering, you know, where they play in the NFL, what coach, all that's going out the window. We are just choosing quarterbacks in a vacuum for our hypothetical team. And we each have a timeline of 5 years. How does that sound?
Sounds great. Yeah, I looked at it as I'm doing a Madden draft. I'm starting a Madden franchise fantasy draft, and that's it. Exactly. But we both have teams, and we're drafting our quarterbacks, and that's how I viewed it.
Perfect. Yes. Only you have to play Madden for 5 years.
They only have to play Madden. Yes. There's no long term. We're trading all the picks, Rams style.
Did you see the Madden guy who only ran the football and won the Madden tournament?
Unbelievable. And you see, like,
incredible.
You see, like, why he had the punter handed off to, because he was a lefty. So it was a faster animation to each side. Like, so
it's great stuff.
It's unbelievable.
It's great stuff. He also apparently beat a Seahawks fan, which is just an incredible troll to beat a Seahawks fan by only running the football. Anyways,
just outside zone getting hit on you over and over. Like, oh no, this is what it's supposed to look like.
Oh Lord. All right. You're my guest. So I'm going to give you the very obvious pick and I'm going to let you go first. And so yeah, you got Sam Darnold.
Oh man. I mean, I do like Sam, but yeah, we're going to go with the easy, nice and safe. We'll go with Patrick Mahomes. And I don't think that'd surprise anyone. I mean, what do I have to say? Won a Super Bowl, won MVP. He's only 25. Like, I mean, we all know how good he is. That's basically all I need to really say about him, right?
Yeah. I'm actually like, let's not even talk about it. Cause I've in the past, when I've done these podcasts, they've run a little long, and it's because I haven't skipped over the obvious ones, or I you know, I'm like the Andy Reid of clock management when it comes to this podcast. So we're not gonna waste time messing around. But I think after one, it gets interesting.
Yes.
I almost wanted to give you the number two pick because I'm gonna get accused of homerism. But I really think it's Russell Wilson. Now, if it was 10 years. It would be different.
Yeah.
Okay. But it is 5 years. Mm-hmm. Russell is 31, I believe. I wrote down their ages.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. 32 during the season.
31. Yep. Mm-hmm. So he'll turn 32 the season. So I think you're going to get his peak. And to me, the QBs, not to give like a spoiler, but like, you know, in this conversation, we're looking at Lamar, Deshaun, seems pretty obvious in that tier. I mean, Wilson to me is the most proven commodity. I actually, you know what? Now that I talk about it, it seems really obvious.
Really? I mean, especially for the 5
right?
year.
I'm right,
yeah,
right?
I mean,
yeah, 5 year.
I had Russ at number two. Like, honestly, I put Mahomes just in his own tier. I just think that's the true God tier. And then the next kind of tier is the elite guys. And I think that's about right. Like, there should be elite gets thrown around a little too much. Like, elite should only mean top three or top four. And I think, you know, Russ is like so easily, he's 31, 32. He's been safe. Like, I mean, we just talked about how he slides and everything. He avoids hits pretty well. Like, he's
never misses start.
Really good at that. Yeah. When, I mean, our year at Wisconsin together, I think he missed one genuine play, like where it wasn't a blowout. Mm-hmm. And then they put my bum butt in there, you know? So he like, You know, so he, you know, like Russ is durable. Like next 5 years, he's going to start. Like, you know, it's a pretty safe pick, and you're getting and he's entered to a next level of play. It's like, I think that's a great, that's exactly who I would have gone to with too.
I believe his only like serious injury was in 2016 when he like, it wasn't even outside the pocket, but, Ndamukong Suh stepped
up. That's right.
So, I mean, you can't stop that. Let me ask you this though, before we move on. If this was 10 years, okay, so then you're looking at 41. Now, again, that doesn't mean you don't go away from him because you arguably get, like, if six of those 10 years are still,
correct.
You know what I mean, top level, you know, so it gets a little bit dicey. That's where Lamar and Deshaun really start.
Yep.
Competing.
And I feel like you're completely right. I mean, like once you kind of hit that 37 is where it kind of gets scary for quarterbacks, where that's the age where it's like, all right, are we betting on the outliers or are we, you know, like, or should we really start moving on to the next step? And yeah, I think, but still it's like you said, it's like six, probably seven good years. Like, I mean, that's pretty valuable out of 10, and, you know, and if we're really getting to that point where it's diminishing returns, then okay, we can have a contingency plan start working if we're starting a team, you know. But yeah, I mean, it's Russ for at least a good 6 years, 7 years. That's pretty nice.
Okay, so now I think it's a, for me, it's a battle between two guys. I don't know if it's the guys I just named, but you pick next. This isn't, I think.
No, Deshaun Watson, I think is going to be my pick. I think that's, I mean, we're both on the same page here. Especially since we're not going to talk about, the current team situations they're on. This is just our neutral team. So that's great. Cause I think Deshaun and I always look at elite talents or, especially first round quarterbacks. This is kind of like, a thing that I keep in the back of my mind is that I think the best quarterbacks, especially as prospects, are good no matter the situation or scheme they're in. They make whatever scheme they get put in look better. If that makes sense, like that, as opposed to, you know, you shouldn't have to project too much, especially when you're evaluating college guys going into the pros, like with a real true top 10, top 12 quarterback prospect. Like you shouldn't have to project. I think those guys, no matter what the situation in, like even like a guy like Jared Goff at Cal, like he was getting killed every single play, but he was still delivering great throws and winning games for him. And I think that's with Deshaun, even with whatever they're going to put around him in Houston, I think it's still going to be a fairly fun offense. He's going to look good because he's that good. He's just that elite level talent. He's going to truly make everyone around him better. And I mean, that's what you want out of an elite quarterback.
Yeah. I think the context, like, are we pretending, you know,
yes.
I guess we're looking at these in a vacuum and trying to be totally independent of context. And I think that's really interesting. The aforementioned Dan Orlovsky and I were talking earlier today about the wide receivers, and he asked me to rank the top five. This is the kind of casual conversation people at ESPN have. He just texts me out of nowhere, rank the five receivers or whatever. I had Julio number one. He's a centaur, but I struggled a little bit with Tyreek Hill because when you consider context, I actually have him number one. But when you're considering him in a vacuum, like I think on half of the teams in the NFL, he wouldn't be useless, but
he'd be more of a super role player as opposed to a star. Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, it really just depends on the quarterback. So anyways, I think the Lamar Deshaun debate is somewhat similar. If you were like looking at these two guys in the same, and they really are statistically, like for example, completion percentage above expectation, they are, Deshaun is right above Lamar. They're neck and neck. I think Lamar's my next pick, so we can talk about them kind of together for these reasons. I think the component he adds with his legs to an offense and the fact that he improved so much as a passer this year, especially in that intermediate level. I understand what you're saying about context, but I also think like I'm the GM and coach of my team.
You're gonna build it around him.
I think Deshaun Watson is the second best deep passer in the NFL behind Russell Wilson. I saw somewhere recently that crazily ranked him first, but whatever. I think he's unbelievable. But I will say this. I think he is actually more inconsistent than Lamar.
Okay.
I really do.
I can see that. I think Deshaun.
They're neck and neck, man. Yeah, they're neck and
Deshaun
neck.
Deshaun truly, and I mean this as a compliment, he's willing to make those hero throws. Like, I remember, God, yes. I remember reading, and I'm trying to remember who it was. It might have been Bill Simmons. He was talking about how Charles Barkley is willing to shoot the three to win the game. Like, you know, sometimes stars don't have that clutch gene, quote unquote. And then sometimes sure. there's stars that you're like, wait, we don't need you to shoot it. Like Chuck, like he was talking about Charles Barkley shooting threes. Like he's willing to make the last shot, even if it's contested, whatever. He's willing to do it. And I think Deshaun has that a little bit in him where he's like, he's going to make the throw. Like he's going to take the chance.
Yes.
Sometimes it's not great. But I would say I'd rather have that and coach it out of him and teach him to be a little more safe than a guy that's like, I'm going to check it down on 3rd and 12 rather than try and make this hero ball throw. You know,
he will put the team on his back.
Yes.
I mean, we've just seen that in so many.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he is. He's so incredible. He truly is a fun player. I mean, both these guys are incredible. Lamar is too. Like I always said, Lamar is Randy Moss playing quarterback, not just athletically, but more in that they break the game. Like Randy yes. made cover two. Like that's why cover two, one of the reasons became so prominent around the turn of the century. It was to stop Randy. It was the cloud, as we call it, cloud. We, as football people, call it cloud.
Yeah.
And they truly get two guys on him. And that's why cover two became more prevalent. It was, or one of the reasons.
Huh.
Yeah. And so, because back then, the Bucs were in the same division as the Vikings. So, in the NFC, old NFC Central. So they had to play him twice a year. So they're like, all right, how are we going to stop this guy twice a year? So that was kind of led to that. And they're like, okay, maybe we can major in cover two and then copycat league, et cetera. And that happens. And Lamar is breaking the game with all the QB run stuff and motion and action because right. now he's changing box count numbers. It's
So I was just about to say, you and I talk about this all the time, how like the key to understanding football is just numbers. Like,
numbers and angles.
Big on little, you know, like, okay, size and then just numbers. And Lamar Jackson has completely changed the math
Correct.
Of football. That said, Deshaun Watson, I actually think I'm going to say something incredibly non-football-y and unscientific and lame, but he brings me the most joy of any football player. I just feel joy sometimes when I watch him. God, like that one, whatever. I'm not going to really go over all this space. So I get it. Let me ask you this before we move out from these four guys into the next kind of tier. Do you think Deshaun's going to have a good season this year?
I do. I think Deshaun's a competitive guy, and so I don't care. I don't think he really cares what situation he's been put in. He's just a good leader, and so I think no matter what, he's gonna. Maybe it might be one of those seasons where he takes a lot of sacks, which is what happens in Houston apparently. And you know they're gonna be super aggressive. I think statistically, yes, he's gonna put up good numbers because I think they are trying. I don't know what they're doing. Who knows?
They're okay on offense. Yeah. I mean, I know they traded away Hopkins, but when you actually look at the depth chart on offense and the improvements, no, it's not bad. Like he's gonna put up good numbers. But and this is probably something I should have brought up when we were talking about the two players and comparing them as quarterbacks in context. I mean, he doesn't just take a lot of sacks because he's in that offense.
Oh, he's
you could put him in any offense.
And that's the thing. That's one thing I
wrote. Yeah.
It does.
And that's concerns
me. One thing that they kind of, and it's actually even gotten better, which is still scary. That's still an issue. He'll take like a deep five step drop out of the gun, which if that were under center, it's a 7-step, but the pass concept is only asking him to maybe take a 3 out of the gun. So he's like putting so much strain on the tackles. Because he's taking a deep drop and then hitching, because he keeps his eyes downfield, which is awesome. But like you said, he's going to take sacks no matter what offense he's in. And And honestly, I think with a guy like that, you lean into it. It's like, all right, if this guy wants to throw it down the field all the time, all right, let's protect it up and let's launch these things. You know, might as well just go touchdown to check down with him.
Did you see our Twitter friend Betts tweeting about that earlier today?
Oh no.
Okay.
Betts puts out fire every day, so
it was sort of cutting to that discussion about passing efficiency and protection. But okay, so we're solid, Deshaun and Lamar. I picked Lamar.
Yep.
Because you gave me Lamar. So you pick next, and this is where I think it goes haywire. Like we could go in 1,000 different directions, but GM Nate Tice, who are you taking with the 5th overall pick?
I'm taking Dak, and I'm a big Dak supporter, a big Dak fan. So I really think watching this past year, made me a much more bigger fan of Dak than originally. I always thought he was pretty good to good. I truly think he is that borderline elite level, and it's just astounding to me that they haven't figured out the contract situation. He's a guy that makes his teammates better. I think the receivers they have around him, Cooper and Gallup, oh, we're just talking about him neutral. I know. I think a guy, he's going to make guys around him better.
But that's actually that's a really interesting assessment because that the ding on him is usually that he doesn't. Like, oh, it took bringing in Amari, right, to bring out the passing game. Or, oh, he came into the league as, like, the rookie in arguably the best situation in football behind at the time. It's changed. The best offensive line and with the running game and whatnot. That was back when Dez was still in the Cowboys. So you're saying the opposite, though, which is that you think he elevates the skill players.
I do. I think as far as skill players, and then that's the thing is their line, of course, is outstanding. Losing Travis is going to be huge. And really why one of the first things I did when studying the Cowboys this year was I wanted to see how Dak was on third down and protections, because that really shows the growth of a quarterback. Some offenses don't require the quarterback to do much. They put it all on the center. Their offense, they had Travis and Dak communicating on all these third downs. And I played with Travis in college. And it was so cool watching him communicate, and it made me appreciate Dak more because he's doing some really heady stuff. He's repointing against – it's the Minnesota game is the one that I always think of when they played Minnesota this year, because Mike Zimmer's known for what he brings on third down and the protection packages he's puts together, and it's pretty complicated because they're really trying to attack the protection rules of an offense. And Dak wasn't even blinking, and he was pointing. He was signaling routes because he was giving side adjusts to a tight end. What we call a 4-week, which is a free safety and a linebacker blitz. And like those kind of things, adjustments, that's pretty heady stuff. And last year he was 26. I mean, that's pretty good stuff for a guy that's just ending his rookie contract. And I mean, those type of things. And we know he's a pretty accurate thrower. He does everything well, which is what I like. He's accurate. He can throw a deep ball. He can throw a quick game. He can throw outside. He can throw inside. He can run. He can create his own throws, and then he's also smart as crap, and he's tough. I mean, that's a great combo. So I think if you have Dak on your team, you're just truly raising your floor. My initial point, he had Amari and Gallup. Those guys both drop a lot of balls. I love Amari. I was with him with the Raiders. He does have drops. He has games where he just drops a couple, and I think Dak is putting them on the money to him. And I think they're going to have some nice pieces again this year. And I think it's just going to be a really fun offense.
You said so many things, but that reminds me.
I know.
I was going off of like on a pro Dak like Twitter rampage a few days ago. And I really don't like that I've become that person. But I'm now the Cowboys Twitter emirate to ESPN. But people were just tweeting all kinds of dumb stuff at me. And somebody was like, we can't throw deep. And I was like, here's a bunch of numbers that show how good he is throwing deep. And I used adjusted numbers because accounting for drops. Even when you account for a drop, you don't account for drops and you just look at the raw numbers, he's still actually pretty good. But somebody wrote, but maybe they're dropping it because he's throwing it like he's.
Oh, no.
It's not hitting their hands softly or something. I was like, dude, have you seen Amari Cooper? Like, and also where he places the balls, because you're absolutely right. Like, he's not Wilson and Watson on the deep balls, but his placement is phenomenal. I mean, he always gives them a chance to succeed. And he's still good at extent, like, throwing on the run too is something. I think he doesn't get enough credit for how good he is at that. I'm not too worried about the line. You mentioned, you called him Travis. His name is Travis Frederick. So he's no longer on that offensive line, but they've done a fair amount of succession planning, bringing in Connor McGovern. Joe Looney played last year in relief. I think they'll be fine. They also drafted a guy. I forgot who.
It's another Wisconsin guy.
Oh, Tyler, what's his name? Piazz?
Yeah, just Wisconsin last name. That's all you need to know. It has a Z in there.
So they should be fine. I actually, and this is like a kind of a YOLO pick, I actually had him behind someone else. Can you guess who it is?
Kyler.
Let's go!
Yeah, that's the guy next too. So.
Speaking of deep balls, I went back and forth on them.
I was hoping you wouldn't take Kyler because now he's gonna.
The next pick I have like two guys who are also kind of yoked, but I just think Kyler's gonna shred this year. I mean, I've praised him to no end here. I guess you know I guess my question would be whether or not who did they draft on the offensive line? Josh Jones.
Josh Jones, yep.
Yeah, and then they Gilbert's coming back. Marcus Gilbert, right?
I think so.
Obviously, DeAndre helps.
I think my dad really liked Josh Jones as well, too. That was like
a lot of people did.
Yeah, he was a fan. I think he said some nice things about Josh Jones. That's his expertise. I just regurgitate what he says.
Who let me ask you this about Kyler. Who does he compare? Who does he remind you of in the NFL?
I mean,
what other quarterbacks?
I mean, Russ. I mean, that's like my best comparison. Yeah. I mean, that really is it. And Kyler, I was with the Alliance League, so I didn't really study draft picks and stuff, prospects, I should say. And I was like, all right, Kyler, he's a lot of fun. Okay, cool. But then watching him this past year, I became a much bigger believer in him just because he's such a good deep ball thrower. And
he's electric. He's absolutely electric. It's hard to compare him though to Wilson's rookie season. I've been thinking about that in particular. I agree with the comp, but I also have been thinking, okay, obviously I watched Wilson's rookie season extremely closely. What are the similarities and differences? But it's almost impossible to compare them because the offense is so that 2012 Seattle offense is so different, right? Obviously,
different sport.
It's that whole year, different sport, pretty much, you know, across the NFL. So, anyways, it's hard to compare them because they're being asked to do such different things.
Well, and that's what. So the narrative is that they hired Cliff and he's an air raid coach, and so it's like, oh, it's going to be an easy scheme adjustment for Kyler. Really, what the benefit of Cliff is not so much that he's a quote unquote air raid coach, is that he is creative, he's not just running mesh every single play and running four verts every play and all the traditional air raid concepts every single play. He's just being creative. He started the year in 10 personnel with four wides, a whole bunch. Yep. And then halfway through the year, all of a sudden they became like a 13 personnel offense. And they're
one of the best rushing offenses in football by the end of the season, which is what nobody saw coming. Yeah.
Nobody. I mean, like they had, I mean, how many times they're in 13 personnel with three tight ends? And I was like, wait, what? And I thought it was like, oh, it's just a gimmick play. They were going drives at a time in it. And so I think it's more, I'm glad not that Kyler went with an air raid coach right now. It's more that he went with a creative coach, a coach that's not just stuck in his ways and going, no, we got to do this, we got to do this, we got to do this. Mm. And I think that's really beneficial for him. And then my fake team where I'm the coach, GM, equipment manager, trainer and everything, that's what I would do if I drafted Kyler was try and get a guy, not that a spread offense guy, just more of a creative guy that's willing to adapt because he's a unique talent. And you got to be unique to, make him ascend.
All right. We're getting into what I call the Banana Republic tier. it's four guys who, you know, just love those 20% off BR coupons. You are next, unfortunately. I feel like I keep putting you in the bad position because like it's like the end of the obvious tier. I've got two guys here who I had trouble deciding between. I'm curious to see who you take.
I wonder if we have the same two guys. Oh, man. Okay. I have the other guy ranked higher, but I'm going away with my process.
You're pivoting?
Because screw process. I'm going with Matthew Stafford.
See, I had him here, and I bet the other guy – is the other guy Carson Wentz?
No.
Oh.
It's your boy.
It's Ryan, Matty Ice.
It's Matty Ice. And it's just – I have the – like just like you have the ages written next to him, I just keep seeing 35 staring at me. And I know.
Otherwise, he would be higher for me.
Exactly.
Also, he had a bit of a down season last year. Okay, I had Stafford here too. Let's talk about Stafford.
Okay, and – you know, Matthew this year is just like he was on a tear before he got hurt. Like they truly changed what he had done before. Not he had done, but the system that he had been around. And I thought they just did a great job. Bevel did a good job with him this year. And it is like, it's a guy that I really should like put something together and just kind of show because I should study him more, but Matty's 32. He was drafted so young and he's been here in the league for forever. And he's always been, I would say he's kind of like gotten properly rated. I mean, I know the Pro Bowl thing everyone harps on, but I think
he's underrated right now. I think we're in firmly Matthew Stafford's underrated.
Okay, we're back to underrated. Okay.
We're back to underrated.
Back to underrated. Yeah. Okay. I thought he was underrated. They got properly rated. Okay. We're back to underrated. And I do think, I believe that after this year, I do think he's back to underrated. So I'm going to change that. So delete that. but no, I think Matthew is just like, I mean, he can throw all three levels. He makes the team better. He makes his guys better. It's what a guy you want. He's 32. So in our league, I guess you would say, you're getting him through 37. And, you know, early on, injuries was his issue. But after the first couple of seasons, he started like almost every game for the next 6-7 years, you know, and before finally, of course, getting hurt last year. But I think it's just, you know, he's got the talent, arm talent. He makes guys better. I think it's just a nice, good pick at that range.
I'm like one first take invite away from picking the Lions to win the division.
Wow.
I'm so tempted. Dude, I know, and I think the division is going to be really hard to pick.
It
generally
is. I think there's a lot of 9-7 going on in that division.
There's a lot of 9-7 going on. The Lions, of course, were a team that underperformed, and Stafford being injured also contributed to that. The only thing really holding me back is Patricia, but I want to do it because I firmly agree with everything you said about Stafford's performance last year. Daryl Bevel did nothing wrong. Hashtag. But, you know, I'm looking at the depth chart. I see no reason why he can't recreate how he was performing in the beginning of the season, especially with the addition of DeAndre Swift, another TJ Hockenson, those tight ends in their second year. I expect him to be significantly better. Still has Jones and Galladay and Amendola. You know, it's a totally decent receiving group. Yeah, I don't know. I've got a seventh as well.
Okay. So I'm not crazy.
So you don't have Wentz next, but I do. Is Wentz much later for you?
Nope, it's the one after that. Okay. So, that was the next little tier.
he's in the Banana Republic with us. So, I think I tweeted the extremely bold take that I think Wentz and Dak are both good. I think it's impossible to compare them because of context at this point. I mean, I don't really know, like, how much last year was such a mess for Philadelphia.
I mean, there were guys off the street were playing receiver for him, you know.
Yeah, and also even before that, though, you know, like the difference when D-Jax went out and the absence of a deep passing threat in that part for him in particular, I think is just devastating. So obviously, that's not the case this year. I have him right above Maddie, and I didn't want to do it, but 35 and. Maddie declined a bit last year.
He did.
And it hurts me to say. It hurts a lot, honestly, but it's true.
Yeah, it did. And the thing with I agree with, I love Carson Wentz, too. I think he's a great player, too. Like you said, it's crazy that you can like Dak and Wentz. but, yeah, with Carson and with the stuff that they run in Philly, you know, of course, we all know about the RPOs. They run a lot of more – the ball gets out pretty quick, and it's kind of that – Chiefs Andy Reid style. Well, Andy Reid has kind of totally changed and cranked it up to 11 with Mahomes and the weapons they have, and everything is deeper with them. But the ball is getting out. It's three steps and ball out, three steps and ball out. There's not a lot of deeper attacking stuff. But why a guy like DeSean Jackson was valuable for him was, okay, if you have nobody that can take it deep, literally nobody that can take it deep for him. Okay, we can just sit.
Suddenly, all those screens are totally
useless.
We can
just sit on it. Right, so, because we have nothing, we don't have, the safeties are at 10 yards now. Because they don't have to worry.
Actually,
about anything going
to
the top.
Let's go back to that very first, when did he get hurt? It was during the game or after the first game that Jackson got hurt?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be something, has there ever been work done on that? Like on screen production when you've got a deep threat receiver on the field?
I don't think so.
You know what I mean? Over like a long period of time.
Like a guy that averages over 17 yards a catch.
Right, like if you got like a... Yes, exactly. Yeah, if you got a 15-plus guy on the field, what happens with your yards after catch on screens?
I'd be interested because that's the Henry Ruggs discussion, right? With him entering the draft.
We'll get to Carr. Okay. not that it's relevant, but yeah. No, it is. Yeah. Right.
No, I don't.
I mean, it's like that goes back to the Hill thing too.
It does matter.
It's Steph. It's Steph pulling up from outside every time.
It's the gravity.
The gravity.
Yep.
Yeah.
It truly is.
All right. So you got Maddie next.
I do.
I'm gonna stop calling him Maddie. It's getting creepy.
Well, I accidentally called Matthew Stafford Maddie And so that
you called him Matthew also.
I went Maddie and I said, wait, what am I saying? Matthew. So I'll just say Matt. So we cover all four. We got, where was that three?
He Matt. Does seem more like a Matthew.
Yes. Yeah, he does. Right. I think that. Yeah. Being from Texas and everything. Yeah.
Ice. You got ice.
Okay. Yeah. I got ice. I got Deuce, as the equipment guys in Atlanta would call him. We all know Matt, you're a fan. Maddie, I think, raises the floor of any team, any scheme he's in, which is my threshold. And like you said Maddie maybe dropped off a little bit last year. I think some of that situation he's in, I don't want to divulge too much, but it's kind of some of it, I think they didn't do him a lot of favors. And I think that's maybe the difference between I love Matt. Sark did nothing wrong. I know. Red zone stats are so... Oh, I know. Don't even get into that. That's a whole another discussion.
Hashtag free Sark.
So you have two offensive coordinators you're pounding the table for already. You got Bevel. No, you got Sark.
There's way more than that.
All right. I'm looking down the list. Let's see who else you can get to.
A lot of... You know, I feel that way about a lot of people. But yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean Matt yeah, raises, go back and Matt watch the floor. I mean that we all know that he raises your
the
floor.
Niners game.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that game's great.
Okay. So I'm worried this one's spicy. We're at 11 now. We got to pick it up.
we got 3 minutes.
I'm taking Kirk Cousins here.
Wow. Ah! Okay, I don't hate it. He's okay. That's I had him at 10 overall, so or 11 somewhere around there.
Oh, wait. So this is 11.
Okay. Yes. Oh, no, I had him.
Did you have him above Rodgers?
Are you looking at my list?
This is my list. I know. We didn't share lists beforehand. It sounds like they're really similar. So I have him and then Rodgers. Do you have Rodgers next?
Okay. So that's going to be the whole discussion because I'm going to waver. I have Rodgers and Burrow next.
Okay. So I have Burrow right after Rodgers. Jesus Christ. Okay.
I know we should just look at our tears.
All right. I know we should have done this. Okay. Whatever. let's talk about them together.
Perfect.
Well, are you going to take Rodgers after I take Cousins, or are you going to take Burrow?
Well, my team's so old now, my hypothetical quarterback-only team.
That's not like how it works. It's not like a dynasty. You're not like actually fantasy drafting. You're starting fresh every time.
I know. I'll, you know what? I'm going to make it exciting. I'm just swing for the fences. I'll go with Burrow. Yeah, I'll go with Burrow, and you can have Rodgers.
Okay. So this is the Cousins-Rodgers-Burrow tier we're in now.
Yep.
Okay, so... Rodgers, a lot of this was just age, 34. Rodgers 34, right? Yeah, he's my age.
No, Rodgers 37.
Why did I think he was 34?
Dude, I thought he was 34 too until I looked up his age. And I was like, oh, he's gonna be, I think he turns 37 during the year.
He's 36, yeah.
36 yeah.
Now. Yeah.
So oh, 36. Wow.
Well, when Aaron and I were hanging out, I was like, we're like the same. I'm trying to be like you. I remember distinctly being like, you know, you're like my peer. And he was like, am I? But that made me think we were the same age. Okay. Cousins was by any metric better than Aaron Rodgers last year.
Okay. I'm not anti-Kirk. I'm not. So I believe.
Let me ask
it.
You a question as a quarterback expert. What would you say, because I actually think this is really hard to answer. What would you say is Kirk Cousins' greatest flaw?
Oh, trying to do too much. I think he's a smart guy, and then he has those weird blackout moments.
Breakdowns.
Yeah, he blacks out. And then it's like, and I think sometimes he blacks out and something great happens. And I think he blacks out and you're just like, why did you just throw into double coverage? Like what was that?
Yeah.
And again, I'd rather have a guy be too aggressive than.
Well, him and Rodgers are like that. Rodgers never does that.
Exactly.
He is the antithesis of blacking out.
Yeah.
But you're not getting that production right now.
Yeah, exactly. And that, or it's the governor is on him now and it's, you know, the speed limits on Rodgers now and it's slowing down a little bit. So all of a sudden what used to be these crazy awesome plays that go for gashes are now more like coin flips that they end up going great for you.
So you took Burrow before him.
Yes.
So Nate Tice thinks Joe Burrow is better than Aaron Rodgers.
There we go.
Let the record stand. I had him right after. That was my first like F it pick.
That's same for me.
I just think he's so good.
Yeah, and this is going to be one of those tweets where they just show the 30-second audio clip. where it's like
it is now.
Okay, cool, perfect. That's great.
No,
great,
but the thing with well, but the problem was okay. So largely now we're getting to the tiers where I'm starting to consider rookies.
Yes.
Tua's not after him, but he's coming up for me, and I think you cannot go. I think there's a very strong chance Joe Burrow is a better quarterback than some of the guys we've mentioned in the next few years. But I think right now we just don't know. Like yeah. there's, I mean, with Joe Burrow, we're working off of 1 year, mm-hmm. one good year, right?
He's a mystery box.
So you just can't go higher than 12 or 13.
Nope. You can't. It's not, and Burrow had the greatest statistical quarterback season ever. I mean, it's everyone, we all know that. And it's, but that's the thing is he's still a mystery box. It's rookies. You never know. And I think he will adjust pretty well, but you never know. But it's also a home run swing a little bit where it's, you know, if we're doing these hypothetical teams where it's like, okay, I'd rather have that potential room for growth than knowing what the ceiling is maybe at this point.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. So Burrow, I took Rodgers. You're taking 14th now.
So Burrow, Rodgers. Okay. Here we go. I'm going with Sam Darnold.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's higher than I had him, and everyone knows how I feel about Sam.
I know. I know. I am a believer in Sam. It's, I think right now he is still being put in situations that aren't favorable for him, and I still think he has games where he overcomes that. He's still so young. He is unbelievably young. He's 23, which is just blows my mind. Like he's younger than Burrow, and he's about to enter his third year starting. So that kind of like those kind of things, I still think he has so much room for growth, and I think he needs a better situation. I mean, the Jets are the Jets. I mean, you talk about Gase and get all of that. I just think Darnold has those tools that or those traits that a true top tier or second tier quarterback has. The aggression, the toughness. He has unbelievable pocket movement for a guy his size. His eyes are downfield. I think he's really smart and a good leader. Just that natural charisma that a guy like has. I know I'm just not, all the intangible stuff, which is
I'm becoming
everything I hated.
Every now and then, you know, I've talked at great length about how horrible his situation is, and I think nobody would dispute that. Yeah. Every now and then, he will hit like a slot fade or like a corner route with just such perfect precision and touch. And those are the moments that always keep me coming yes. back. Like he can make all the throws.
Absolutely. And I think I had a tweet that says, I can't quit Sam Darnold. And it was him hitting this over route to Robbie Anderson.
I
can't quit him.
There are quarterbacks further down the list who I do not believe are capable of making the same throws as Sam Darnold.
And
the mental side is not there because it's been so stunted, I think.
And another thing with Sam was he was a basketball player, and he wasn't a guy that went to quarterback camps in middle school and high school. He was a late, I mean, relative, this is a weird term to use it, but like a late bloomer at the quarterback position. So he has, I mean, he's still learning. I mean, it's just, he's a young dude that's just learning how to play quarterback. If he was around 20 years ago, he probably would end up at tight end, you know, like for a basketball player and all that. Like, it's just, you know, I think that he's still learning those nuances, but he already has these traits that are on, that you can't teach, just that natural toughness and aggression that is just those are what the top tier guys have. And so it's like you're betting on – it's a home run swing. I mean, that truly is what it is. It's a home run swing.
So I'm wrapping up the first half of our draft, and we got to accelerate. I'm making executive decisions here because he was lower, but I just moved him up. I'm going Baker here.
Okay.
Is he much lower on your list too?
Nope. He's not.
He's around here? Okay.
Same tier as Darnold, so.
Yeah, we're right now. We moved out of the Banana Republic tier, and now we're in, like, the, you know, White Guys Who Are Supreme tier. Yeah, or that, yeah. I'm betting on his rookie season. I don't know. I don't know. And I'm betting on the notion that some of those habits we saw last year can be undone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so
I'm also betting on his college season, man. Like,
it is unbelievable.
Dude was freaking awesome.
Yeah. So, have you ever looked at Baker's first 30 start stats? because he started 30 games so far in the NFL. And James,
they're insane, right?
And Jameis Winston's?
No. Well, not together.
Okay. So over their first 30 starts, Jameis Winston, 47 touchdowns. Baker, 49. Jameis, 30 interceptions. Baker, 35 interceptions. QB rating, Jameis, 85.6. Baker, 85.9. Yeah. Yeah, and then completion percentages are both around 60%. I just think, and Jameis is only, he's less than a year older than Baker, which
I think the difference is a lot of Baker's interceptions weren't his fault.
Gotcha.
The difference, I think it's one of them.
Gotcha. Yes, Jameis has a lot of didn't see the intermediate guy, and then Baker's is more like unhinged aggression that leads to double coverage.
But
throws.
Beyond that, no, I think his receivers let him down a lot, and the scheme as well. So I think
scheme is the answer for a lot of that.
More than anything, it is scheme. Yeah. But I'm sure I don't have in front of me, but I'm pretty sure he's up there in like drops and tipped interceptions and all that.
Sure. Yeah. This is a big year for Baker. I mean, it really is.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's master the obvious statement there, but it really is. What is he truly? Now he has a kind of seems like a settled situation. So I'm curious to see what Stefanski does with them. I really am. Cause I think Stefanski is a guy that will truly build what he's good at and maybe not have two receivers running into the same spot like they did last year.
Let's take a quick break and answer some questions.
Question. Question. Lenny, for your thoughts.
This is a good one for you because God knows I can't answer it. Sam Borney wants to know, where can a young guy who wants to know who the good offensive linemen are and what makes them good get this content?
who the good offensive line, like Twitter follows are?
I think he means like, what do you read to learn about offensive line?
Oh, man. Jeff Schwartz is probably one of the better ones out there. Brandon Thorne is a great Twitter follow.
Good follow, yeah.
There are a few guys out there that will divulge, and it's a lot of like high school coaches and college coaches that maybe will dive into it. I'm spoiled. My dad's an O-line coach, so a lot of times if I don't understand something, I just text him. So, yeah, so get my dad's cell phone number. There we go. That'll be
good. There you go. That's an answer. No, but you're right. Just it's like offensive line, it really is like the most like small town, like, you know, some guys, yep. Like
it really is,
you know,
and so many of them have a chip on like their shoulder. They're like, oh, no one treats us right. So I'm not going to divulge any information. Like, yeah, this
we
is
hate
duo.
PFF.
This is why it's duo. We're not going to tell you why it's duo though.
I mean, like when the Seahawks drafted Damian Lewis, I was like, sure. I'm going to text five people and ask them if this is good. Okay, it's good. Great.
So do you know why the O-line, they have the Cool Clinic, COOL, and the logo for it is a mushroom. And it's because the story is it's because O-line used to get the worst part of the field to practice on. So it's just them. It's where the grows. It's where the mushroom – or it's where the goes. So it's where the mushrooms grow. So that's what the O-linemen – yeah.
Bitter, yeah, a bitter so group. Bitter. Okay. But well compensated these days. Posane Koenig, I don't know if I said that right, wants to know, what do my Cowboys have to do to regain elite status? Win the division.
don't be unlucky.
Well, I mean, they're my pick. Well, I'll do divisional previews, you know, when we get a little bit closer to that. But, I think, for me, all the questions right now are about the defense more than the offense, and how much of that. Did you see who was it complaining about Chris Richard's scheme? Was it it was someone. It was one of their DBs. I can't remember who it was, but the defense was perplexing too because they so drastically underperformed their talent at every level, really. In my opinion, so I'll be very curious.
They had a lot of like.
You know, they've got Mike Nolan.
Their scheme was a lot of be an athlete, make a play, which is great.
Welcome to the Seahawks, 2012 through 2017.
So, yeah, some guys might not like that if they feel like they're getting put into hard situations, which that scheme will put you in hard situations. So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. That's the scheme that they were running.
Turbans in a Half Shell, great name.
That's great.
Asks, to me, there's a clear top eight in the NFC. Cowboys, Eagles, Vikings, Packers, Saints, Bucks, Niners, Falcons. Wow, I do not agree. Which teams fall out of the playoffs? I mean, a lot of those teams have a good shot of falling out of the playoffs. I would say
it's like four high variance teams. I could go like 11-5 or 5-11.
Let's narrow the focus here because you're sort of plugged into, I think the Falcons are a really interesting team. So with this whole new three wildcard teams, when I look at the NFC, I think the NFC North, you could get any of those top three, right? I think any team in the NFC West could be a wildcard team.
Correct. That's the best division. Bonkers, that division can be
bonkers
so much fun.
Division.
Yeah.
Hellscape. Not fun to me.
It's such a fun, like, clash of styles too. That's what makes it great.
Ugh. Cowboys and Eagles are just, that's a clear half and half division. The Falcons are the weird one to me. The defense is, again, to go back to it, it has just been so bad. And I don't, I mean, that's, you know, I think people do not expect Dan Quinn to keep his job there.
It's just so hard because, like, Matt and Julio and the offense, and actually, like, they're Lindstrom, they're first O-lineman they drafted last year is a good player. Yeah. Like, I already liked him. Like,
he's the BC kid, right?
Yes, yes. And it's just strange. And the other kid, the tackle they drafted from, the Washington kid, I think. And what's so strange with them is that it's like they built, like they were building a long-term plan by drafting linemen as opposed to, and they signed some free agent linemen last year too that, you know, whatever. But it's, they drafted some linemen, like that's like a long-term plan, but they're really in a win-now mode. You know what I mean? It's like they're building from within. Yeah. We're going to build inside out, and then the receivers are the cherries on top at the end. But it's like, no, we already got the receivers. Now we're drafting linemen, and now we're all in. So like you said, I mean, they could honestly, if they go like 10, 6, 11, 5, I'd be like, oh, yeah, okay.
I think the defense has – I mean, the problem is I feel like I said this the year before, that they were unlucky and underperformed. Obviously, they had injuries the year before. But like Ty McKinley is a good player, quietly.
Yeah.
Like, I think, so...
You know...
Actually, Seth Walder pointed out that, like, if you expanded the threshold of snaps for pass rushers, he actually would have been one of the better pass rushers in the NFL.
They have, and they're... Ricardo Allen, the safety, is one of my favorite players. Like, just as a guy.
Yeah, he's
and nice. Just and also as a player. Like, he is, like, a good starting safety. Like, Pro Bowl, probably not. But it's like, they have a couple guys that are legit dudes.
We're at 50 minutes. All right. We're going to cruise
ramble
through the second half. You can ramble, though, please. This is my home field, and I always mismanage things. We're going to cruise through the second half. Who picked last? Me. I had Baker.
You had Baker.
15.
Correct.
You're up.
Okay. All right. I'm going with Jared Goff here. And I as soon as I left my mouth, it felt...
You jumped a lot for me.
It felt...
So, okay.
That, once that left my mouth, that felt weird, but... I still am a believer in Goff, and I think I do think he still has talent. I don't think he'll ever be that elite guy, but I do think he is a good starting quarterback. I think last year was just such a crazy bonkers year for the Rams that I almost want to throw it out. So truly we have like a 2 years of like true film of Goff, and it's kind of hard. Like you want to say it's a system thing with McVay, but I saw Goff at Cal. And I hate just harping on college film, but like throwing a totally different throws in a totally different offense where he's chucking it 50 times a game. And look, he was number one pick for a reason. So I'm a believer in Goff. I think he's tough. I think he elevates. He can be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I don't think he's just elite, but it's almost like I'm trying to just hit a double here and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I think he is a totally has it in him to get back into the good territory.
Yes.
And I've said that, and I've been scoffed at by a lot of my guests.
I know. Every time I mention him, everyone's like, Goff? It's like, yeah, I like him. That's
but he was bad. I mean, we're talking two good years versus one bad one if you throw out the Fisher year. And I like what the Rams did in the draft on offense. Yeah. I don't think losing Cooks is going to make a big difference,
I don't either.
Given how little they had him. And
it is a fun stuff with
Van
two
Jefferson
tight ends.
Pick.
So, that's...
They were so much better once they started running
two tight
end sets.
It's so funny. It's the exact same formations. It just, out of two tight ends. So they right. just went hip with the receiver really close.
Positionless yeah, football.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you got to think that offensive line is going to be better this
yeah.
year.
It's you know, and Whitworth is scary. Yeah, Whitworth getting older is scary, but they just had such a year where they just kept swinging and missing. It's like, okay, it's got to bounce out.
So I'm taking Ryan Tannehill here. He's 31.
Oh. Okay. He was next for me, so don't even worry. I'm not.
Yeah. I mean, this is just like how much is last year versus previous years. I do believe a lot of the previous years, the context hurt him a great deal. I think a lot of his performance, he's probably going to come back to earth a fair amount. Although, aside from losing Conklin, which I think is going to really hurt their run game a lot more than people anticipate, I think AJ Brown is like one of the best young receivers in football, and he's such a help to Tannehill. I like that big tight end they have, whose name I always forget.
Oh, Jonnu Smith?
Yeah. I think Art Smith's
good. I made like
good.
Seven cutups on Jonnu Smith.
Oh, but yeah, like, we're picking them in a vacuum. So in a vacuum, Tannehill, yes, super athletic, yes. takes care of the football, holds on to it too long. Not the best deep passer, but avoids turnovers.
Yes.
And so I like him. I think he's a double two. All right, you're next.
Up next, I am going with Derek Carr.
Derek Carr. Yeah, he's next on mine too.
And I was with Derek and the Raiders for 2 years, and I thought he had a great, an underappreciated year last year. Thought he looked really good in what the Raiders were asking him to do last year. And I think he does a lot of things well. He still maybe checks it down a little too early and looks underneath too early, but I think he's getting comfortable with what Gruden asks. Gruden runs so many plays. And Derek is smart, and I think he's getting a little comfort where they have a nice little balance of what they run. But, yeah, I think Derek had a good year. He's going to be 29. If you're going for the next 4 years, I think that's a pretty nice, safe pick to go with.
No arguments from me. Yeah. All right. I'm taking Jimmy here.
That's who I next. All right, the Bay Area. Well, they're in Vegas now. The Bay Area duo.
By the way, when I did that, when I was getting all the Dak's deep ball statistics, somebody was like, well, PFF said Jimmy was actually the best deep ball passer. I was like, what?
Like,
and then I realized I had set the threshold at like 20% or something. Yeah. So once I removed the thresholds, yes, he was the best deep passer. I mean.
No, but that's the thing with Jimmy is like, if you look at all those stats, it's like, he's the best deep ball thrower. Well, it's only like one of those.
He's gonna be, here's the thing. God, who did they draft again? Oh, Brandon Ayuk.
Brandon Ayuk.
He's gonna be good this year.
Yeah.
Like, he's gonna have a good season.
Yeah, exactly.
Debo's a beast!
Yes, Debo's incredible.
I mean, I think the Rams rushing, or pardon me, Niners rushing game is gonna regress because it would be impossible not to. And, was actually much more high variance than people thought, but I just, he's bowling with bumpers over there.
Oh, yeah.
In any case,
he had the second most yards off of non-read throws, like screens and bubbles and shovel passes. Like, he had the tremendous second most yards or production off of that.
He is, again, I always go back to that episode of 30 Rock where John Hamm is the Hawkeye who doesn't realize that he's like living in a Hawkeye's world and everyone's nice to him. All right. Now we're getting into the like the weirds, the youngs, the unclears.
Yep.
And the olds, by the way,
yes,
where you might get 1 or 2 years and you're like, oh, I want Drew Brees for a year. You know?
Yeah.
So who do you have next?
I have Jameis.
What?
Yeah.
He's not. He wasn't even on my list. I took him off. He's
did
a backup.
I was going to text you, but I didn't
you
want
can't
to
take Jameis.
I was going to text you and go like, hey, can I put Jameis on there? Because I can't.
You can't put Jameis.
I can't put Jameis. Okay.
I make the rules.
He's a year older than Baker. I mean, come on.
But he's not going to play this year.
I know, but in 2 years, he's going to be good again. All right.
I know. I own him in Dynasty.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
He's and I feel great about it.
I mean, God, so okay. I'm going to cross off Cam, too. All right.
Yes. No Cam, no Jameis.
Okay. God. Next up. All right. We're going to go with some of the. All right. I'm just going to keep home run swinging it here. Actually, no, I'm not. I'm going to hit a double. I'm going to go with nice and steady Eddie here. I'm going to go with Teddy Bridgewater.
He is one after my
okay.
next one.
My next two were kind of like, all right, home run swing or, take a walk. So I'm with Teddy. He's nice, safe. He's a great program guy. He's, you know, I mean, that last year with New Orleans when he had to start, I mean, they didn't miss a beat. And I think that's how they used him is exactly how he should be used. Not a lot of deep balls, but just a lot of that quick game, a lot of, some intermediate throws, but true West Coast stuff is what Teddy operates the best in. And, you know, it's Teddy Bridgewater. Everyone loves him.
He actually doesn't have a terrible deep ball, which obviously he never throws. I mean, it's not like Derek Carr, where I actually think Derek Carr has like a beautiful deep ball that he refuses to throw. Let me ask you this, as a quarterback, like when you've got a guy like a Derek or a Teddy who's reluctant to air it out, are you better off just doubling down on what they're comfortable with and where they're good, or is that something you can coax?
Yes, and I think when you're building up that week's game plan or something, you're going like, hey, when we call this, you're emphasizing what you're designing to play for. So maybe a Derek, you know, he doesn't trust throwing the deep ball, but maybe go like, hey, we love this look. So if you're seeing like too high, I'm just making something up. You see too high here, launch that post because like the safety's going to dry. Like you try to get them comfortable with throwing it. And a guy like Teddy is like almost like Chad Pennington in a way. He's willing to throw it. It's dying after 45 yards. You know, he just can't throw it that deep, but he's willing to throw it, but it has to be the perfect look, as opposed to a guy like Mahomes. Right. Is like, oh, Tyreek's 7 yards short of safety. All right, let's launch this. You know, like those guys. And I actually, this is how I had to operate because I didn't have the greatest arm strength, is that it had to be the perfect look. And then I was willing to throw it. Those guys are willing to throw those, hero balls.
I'm taking a guy who I was going to take before Teddy, who has a much stronger arm. A guy who I watched a lot of this weekend.
Okay.
I might be tweeted about a little bit.
Okay.
I'm taking Drew Jeezy Lock.
Wow.
Over Haskins, over Josh Allen, wow, over Roethlisberger, over Tom Brady. Wow. Again, it's a 5-year timeline. Yes. Okay. So I watched Houston and Detroit. I didn't watch all. I asked people for recommendations on.
So you watched the good game.
Actually, probably
you watched the Houston game.
Yes, I watched the good game.
You watched the Houston game.
And Detroit, which I thought was interesting because the Houston game, first of all, it's really hard to evaluate him because the defense is so bad. He played mostly bad defenses too. That, I was like, what should I watch? I was like, oh. Houston defense too. They were like, yeah, we're just gonna assume you can't throw a football.
Right?
And see what happens.
As vanilla as possible.
And turns out he can throw a football. Detroit, they played a ton of zone, and I thought he did a very nice job, sort of reading that. Now, he is, like, after his first read, he's not really making stuff happen after the first read in structure. I was really impressed by his ability to extend plays. Very athletic. I thought he has a really nice arm. I think I tweeted this and I was scared that Bills fans would see it, but I think I said he looked better than Allen did his rookie season. Certainly throws with more touch. Not as intimidating, you know, his legs and athletically, but I'm betting on him because he got better every year in college. And I thought he looked better towards the end of the season than I expected. And I'm betting that he can continue to take steps forward because for him, all of it's mental.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, that very last sentence is perfect. Like, a lot of that's mental. And that was the first game when they played the Chargers, so you didn't watch that one. But it's sorry, that came out so wrong.
I think
wrong.
I did, no, I think that I did out, at the time, and I was like, he sucks!
So wrong, I'm so sorry.
I think I watched it at the time, because the Chargers were still, like, maybe in play, I don't know. But I remember being like, ugh,
yeah,
he's terrible!
Oh, they didn't ask him to do anything. They ran, like, pass concepts, and they were just like it looked like a day one training camp install for a rookie. Like, they were just truly like, hey, training wheels are on, and we are not letting you, like, we're gonna play defense this game and like not let you lose the game for us. And then the next week they played Houston, he let it loose a little bit. And yeah, I think you great points. There is a lot of upside. The thing that always throws me off with him is that he holds the ball a little funky. And so how he throws the ball always throws me off. He like puts his pointer finger like almost near the tip of the ball. So like next time you watch him, just kind of look at that and I can't unsee it.
Well, no, then I'm going to, that actually is a guy who's coming up for me is like Tua. Sometimes I'm just like, I can't watch this.
Right.
It's too odd.
Right.
It's too off-putting. Okay. Who's next? We got to roll.
I'm going Josh Allen. I think in the
he's next for me too.
Okay. Yep. And Josh Allen, I get the stats and all that, but I'm betting on the growth of him. If he just keeps ascending again, it's like Disco Stew, the Simpsons meme, like, you know, just keeps ascending up, but it's, I think just he has that talent level that maybe you do hit that 1% outlier where he does turn into some phenomenal, unbelievable quarterback. And I also think the difference, you know, football, there's so much parity. The difference between 10-6 and 6-10 is only a few plays. All right. Well, if that's the case and we're going to build up a really good defense, put a lot of pieces around him and then ride those dice throws with Josh Allen. Like that's the philosophy I think the Bills are going for. It's like, hey, maybe we get hot for 5 weeks and Josh just blacks out for 5 weeks and doesn't throw 3 picks a game and fumble twice. Maybe he just throws, you know, he doesn't crap out for 4 weeks and we win a Super Bowl.
How rare is it for a guy who like has a rocket launcher attached to his body to have his greatest weakness be his deep balls?
Yeah, no, it's funny with like Josh Allen. It's almost like a reverse Beethoven, where Beethoven couldn't hear, but he could make great music, and Josh Allen could throw the ball 80 yards, but can't complete a ball.
Yeah. That's so beautiful. That's so, what a beautiful analogy. Nate Tice for Monday Night Football, folks. All right. We're gonna just pound through the rest of these. Okay.
The old guy round.
Back and forth. Well, I'm taking Tua here. No, I'm okay. Taking Tua.
Okay.
Never had a bad game. Well, that's not true, but rarely had a bad game. Okay. Obviously, it's a roll of the dice on the house, but I'm taking him over Haskins.
Okay. Yep. I'll go to Haskins. And okay. Yeah, that's easy peasy. I actually think they might do some interesting things. I just, oh man, they don't have a lot of weapons there, but I'm curious to see how he progresses this year.
Okay. Now we're in the old guys, but also there's a couple young guys in the mix. Okay. Roethlisberger.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. He just shaved his beard.
He's 38. I think he's got 2 years left.
He's got 2 years left. He just shaved his beard too, because he can finally throw
the
ball.
I saw.
So that's big. Good for your team.
Okay.
I'm gonna go Rivers. I'm going on.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying I get 2 years out of Rivers.
Yeah, yeah. No, Frank Reich said he thinks he'll get more than a year out of him.
Yeah.
I think
I'm a stand for Rivers anyway, so
I'm going Daniel Jones here.
Okay. That's who I was deciding between.
Had to be done.
It had to be done. You know, okay, real quick, upon a rewatch, when I was watching these guys, he did better than I initially gave him credit for. He still has way too many fumbles and does some stupid stuff, but he's better than I gave him credit for when I watched him during the season.
Totally.
Yeah. But so, again,
I
want to see.
I realize this is not the exercise, but I am not optimistic about that offense based on some of the decisions they've made. I mean, I love getting Andrew Thomas, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
But what we're hearing out of Garrett, and it's just like, oh man.
I know.
Daniel Jones can scoot, man. Like,
yes.
I would be doing something, whatever. That's a whole other thing. I had trouble between him and Minshew, but.
That's who I would go with. I'll go with Minshew. And yeah, Minshew was not bad, but again, it's the opposite of Daniel Jones. Upon rewatch, I actually liked him less than I did during the season, but I think he's
really,
yeah. There's some games that maybe I missed because I'm in the middle of his starting that he wasn't as consistent as he was early on and late. And that was kind of scary because like he has to be consistent. Like he can't be high variance.
He's a funny one, by the way, to go back to our discussion about deep balls and arms and, you know, he doesn't have a super strong arm, but
he can,
was super successful throwing a deep,
which shows you. Out of a go ball for whatever reason.
Ladies,
I'm sorry.
It's not about the size of the arm.
It really is.
It's about the motion of the arm. Okay.
Timing,
I'm going to go Brady next.
Okay, you're going Brady.
Yeah.
43-year-old Tom Brady. There you go.
We're getting 2 years out of Brady.
Okay. And I'm getting 1 year. Yeah. 1 year out of Brees.
Okay.
Oh. Okay.
I talked about him at length last week, so I'm not going to get into it.
Okay. Who even have left? Because I wrote down 31.
Herbert.
Days. Yeah, Herbert or Tyrod Taylor. Yeah, so I'm going with Herbert. Not I compared him to Jason Campbell coming out. That was my cool hipster comparison, because that's the Seattle in me.
But I'm rapping with poor Mitch Trubisky. I guess I could have gone Foles there. I don't know. I mean, I would take Foles earlier probably, because you know you can. Who knows? Catch a breeze. but I'll go Trubisky. All right, let's end with a few questions for our guests.
And now it's time for Dinks and Dunks. I'm getting paid for this, right?
All right, question number one. Oh, as always, five questions from me, four from me, one from Lenny. Question number one, who is a team that you think could surprise people this year by being good?
Is the Cardinals a surprise, though?
We were just debating that earlier. Can you call them? I think so. But I think
everybody's
still,
on them. When everybody gets on a team, I'm off of them. Yeah. As soon as everyone on the Browns last year, I was so far off.
I don't like that Cardinals defense, man.
I don't either. They're a year away from even having a cohesive defense, I think. I think next year is their year.
I like the Broncos.
Broncos is fun.
If Drew Lock can put down for his city.
He just has to play average. I mean, they have a defense that could like win them games. So, I mean, Dallas.
I had another good one. Dallas? Oh, Detroit. I've been on the Detroit might be sneaky good train.
Okay.
Dallas is no longer.
They're not sneaky.
They're probably.
Yeah.
No.
They're just.
Okay, you can pick Arizona.
Okay. That's. Ugh, I'm going to hate that.
Question two. You live in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I do.
What is it like right now with no tourists there?
A ghost town. When the quarantine first happened, it was March Madness, I believe the first weekend of March Madness and St. Patty's Day. And it looked like a zombie apocalypse. Like it looked like The Walking Dead, like the first episode of The Walking Dead where they just go through Atlanta and it's just a ghost town. Like that's what it felt like. Or 28 Days.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Or 28 Days Later. You've seen that?
I haven't seen that either.
Cillian Murphy. It's a great movie. But yeah, now it's getting a little more normalcy. There's cars on the road and stuff, but yeah, it's truly bizarre going from lights on and bustling and 500 cabs on the strip and everything and cars everywhere and people walking everywhere and to this.
I was watching Listen to Your Heart on Monday, of course, and there was a commercial for Las Vegas and they were like, Las Vegas, like now you can come here and like be by yourself. And it was like a couple in a hot tub. I was like, I can do that in LA.
Yeah.
Shout out to Las Vegas.
Shout out to Las Vegas. Still great. Come on by. It's fun to live here.
Question three. I actually, one of the Rams preseason games is in Las Vegas. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see if that happens.
All right.
Question three. Do running backs affect play actions?
Come on. I don't think the actual running back affects. Did you say play action? Running backs affect.
Yeah,
I think if there's a
does it matter who's running the football?
If there is a tendency, does that make sense? If number 30 is in there and they're 80% run, I do think that affects play action. You know what I mean? If they have that guy that's usually the pass protecting back or the guy that always runs the ball, he's only in like Adrian Peterson. He's probably like 90% run. I have no idea. I'm making up these numbers, but it's. You know, but also you're on play action.
That's actually, you know, I might be wrong, but I believe the research done on the correlation between the rushing game and play action focuses on in-game performance, right? Like, okay, X carries does not equal play action success or X carries and efficacy. But what you're describing is something different, which is reputation, essentially. Yes. And I do wonder if that's something that can be – it's something I have talked to players a lot about.
And that's what, you know, coaches do week to week is you're looking at tendencies. Usually it's the last four games, but some might do longer or against like schemes that they're going against. Mm-hmm. And yeah, tendencies is every time 82 is at tight end, they're blocking, they're running the ball, keeping them in pass protection or doing so-and-so. But also if you put 82, the tight end on a seam route, it's a tendency breaker, quote unquote. So I think the same thing. If you have a running back that's only in there to run the ball because they don't trust him in pass protection, and then all of a sudden you run him a pass, a play action with him. I think that is more you're skewing the defensive call as opposed to how the players react, you know, unless it's a smart player.
Speaking of tendency breakers, this is my fourth question. What is something that you find yourself, like a piece of content consuming during the quarantine that otherwise you never would?
Man. We watched, what did we watch over on Disney Plus? Oh, just crappy. Oh, I watched, no, not crappy. This isn't crappy. I watched Gilmore Girls with my fiance. So that is a piece of content.
How far are you?
Oh my goodness, way too far. I haven't watched every episode, but I love Marvelous.
Who's your favorite character?
I don't even know their names. It's just daughter, mom, grandpa, grandma,
Suki,
guy that knocked up the Lane? Girl. I don't know him. Melissa McCarthy. Okay, I know, I got her. But yeah, Gilmore Girls is my answer. But I do like Marvelous Miss Maisel, Mrs. Maisel. So
I'm on season three of that. Wow, you are shattering stereotypes right now. Okay. Wow, we could do a whole separate podcast on Andy Palladino shows.
That plays board games. I mean, come on.
Go check out Bunheads if you really want to get in the real Palladino. Okay. Yeah, that's the same woman who made.
Okay,
those
I'm
shows.
Writing it down right now.
Okay, last question, as always, is from Lenny, who is currently scratching on my door and being the worst because it's 3:30 and he knows that 4:00 is his dinner time and he can pressure me into feeding him earlier. Lenny, heard you talk a lot about being Russell Wilson's close confidant and backup in college. And he went and he looked up your stats. And yeah, he wants to know how that one carry for 17 yards felt. Zero passing attempts.
It felt great, and the one rush attempt was designed to get my head knocked off. So, and then the guy just slipped and fell, and I was able to score. So it was great. It was a great one attempt. No pass. I think I said to you before, but it's when the backup gets in other offenses, they chuck it around, run basic football plays or pass plays. When Wisconsin puts the backup in, you're running the ball. We're getting those third, fourth string running backs all the carries they can get.
Well, folks. That was Nate Tice, quarterbacking expert, who has the same number of pass attempts that I did in college.